Hello, it's Monday the 22nd of April. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and even I wanted Coventry to win. Welcome back to Paper Cuts, the modern newspaper review, where we counter the joy death computer says no goal of VAR with the delightful silliness of human beings in the UK press. Whether it's loopy columnists, random royals, Biggles Rishi or Big Liz Truss, they're all to be found in our national newspapers, and every day we present them to you like a toddler showing you a stick insect. And if you like what we do, then why not send a message to three of your friends with a link to papercutshow.co.uk and tell them why you like us? You could mention Scotty's racing tips.
I don't have any.
Anyway, let's see if they subscribe. Now, here are the headlines for today's show. Police and peeves. There's a row over the Met's approach to a Jewish man and the politicians are loving it. I took a pill in Ibiza. Oh no, everyone's having a bad time in the White Isle. And bend me over backwards on my hostess trolley. The Eye is here to tell us which foods are a turn on. Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts, where Killian and Kneecap is our new fave boy band. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and joining me today is writer for The Eye and jovial yet gentle jogger, it's Rebecca Reed. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And also with us is host of self-help podcast and reluctant yet regular runner, it's Scotty. Hi, Scotty.
Hello. Listen, that photo of Question with Kneecap and Killian, I have never wanted to have off with four Irishmen more.
I know. So hot.
So hot.
I don't understand what any of you are talking about.
We'll show you the photo, yeah. Don't okay. Worry.
The balaclava. Oh,
nothing better for a podcast than photos.
It's all right, we'll show you later. Okay, what have we got on the front pages today? Rebecca, what do we have?
So on the front page of the Times, we've got voters put police in the dock. Majority of Britons don't trust officers to solve crimes. Not looking great for the police. And at the bottom, we've also got PM appalled by Jewish man's ordeal, which is going to the story that we're going to discuss a bit later about the Jewish man who was told off for being openly Jewish. So not a good day for the police. Mm. On the front of the Telegraph, we've got PM refuses to back under fire Met chief. Same thing. Mark Rowley is under fire over this ongoing issue about this man who was told off for being openly Jewish. And the PM has obviously now weighed in because anything that's about anybody else is good news for him. We've also got a nice picture of David Beckham giving Victoria Beckham a piggyback out of her 50th birthday party, which is a private members club in London. The cynic in me thinks that they might possibly have come up with that.
Oh, I know. It's still cute.
It is still cute. And, you know, they've got one of the longest marriages in show business, so fair play to them. And then on the front of The Guardian, we have PM faces calls to put Afghan concession in Rwanda bill. So this is an ongoing issue of just trying to get this through the Lords. There's also a nice picture of a Kenyan woman hailing her victory in the London Marathon.
Yes, fastest ever, apparently.
Fastest ever. Yeah. 2 hours, 16 minutes, 16 seconds. And then on the front of The Eye, we've got Tories face new pay clash with public sector workers before autumn election. Mm. So, yeah, more people are cross about being paid poorly, which is probably not very surprising. But apparently, 4% increase is likely to be offered to 2.5 million workers, which is higher than inflation, but could still be met by protests with public sector workers poorer than before the pandemic.
Fun.
Yeah, exciting. And also we've got Gizzy Erskine on the front page talking about aphrodisiacs, which we're going to go into in much more detail later.
We certainly are. Okay, Scotty, what do you have?
Oh, well, no better way to start a Monday morning than with the Daily Mail. There's also pictures of Posh and Bex stumbling out of her 50th. And do you know, it's over almost every paper today. I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less that some rich people had a dinner for a 50th birthday. And I agree with you. I think the whole thing was very much orchestrated. She did lots of press leading up to it, which was like, I'd like to empower women by selling them overpriced clothing that they can't fit into.
Won't hear a word against us. Sorry.
You just did. Again, the big story here is the Jewish leaders call on Met Chief to quit, which I think is kind of a common theme throughout a few of the papers. Daily Mirror have gone with Keir Starmer and Stephen Lawrence's mum sort of coming together in front of children. I think there are some pledges for how there might be some change for the future Labour government, potentially. The Sun. Russia hacks Brit holjets. So British holiday flights are being deliberately jammed by Russia.
Mm.
So there's that. And then again, Spice Girls reunited, exclusive. That's about the 12th exclusive I've seen this morning inside Posh's 50th bash. And then coming on to the star, Proud to Love Animals, as we all know, Rain Rain goes away. You'll get a shock if you go out today. Essentially, it's a front page about the weather.
This happens quite often with
it's
the star.
A front page to say we might have a couple of days where it's a bit dry.
Now, on the front page of The Times, The Telegraph and The Mail, Father, Son and Holy Ghost are very similar stories about the Metropolitan Police. The Telegraph and The Mail are concentrating on the Met Police Commander, Sir Mark Rowley, whose position is looking a little bit vulnerable. Rebecca, what has he done wrong?
So there was a march, pro-Palestinian march, during which a Jewish man was in the vicinity of pro-Palestinian protesters, and a police person, not Mark Rowley himself, said to this man that he was potentially putting himself at risk or causing trouble, inverted commas, by being, inverted commas again, openly Jewish. So obviously this man was really upset about this and very offended, understandably. So this has then escalated and gone through the ranks, and now Mark Rowley is being called on to potentially quit or to be axed. And the politicians are playing table tennis with this, because this police person works for the Met, which is Sadiq's problem, but obviously he's also part of the British Police, which overarchingly is Rishi's problem. So they're trying to push it back and forward and basically kind of pointing at each other, saying this is your fault, this is your fault. Not many people actually seem to be working on the issue of anti-Semitism in this country or dealing with having discussions with the people from the pro-Palestinian marches. They're just sort of pushing this back and forward, getting cross. So overall, it feels a bit like someone wants a head to roll, and Mark Rowley is the person whose head would roll. But ultimately, it's become a sort of political battleground, which is a bit depressing.
It is a bit depressing, really, isn't it? And I mean, they're trying to kind of calm everything down by meeting with community leaders, with the Board of Deputies of British Jews, the Jewish Leadership Council, the Community Security Trust. There was also another aspect to it, which comes from The Guardian, who spoke to other Jewish people who were on the pro-Palestine march, and they represent Holocaust survivors, and said actually the march was not a no-go zone for Jews. So it's a kind of complicated problem that they're using really for political means, which seems a bit rubbish.
Yeah. And also, you know, the police are not trained in this kind of negotiation. It's a very complicated political historical issue, and they are largely there to provide safety and crowd control. So you can see how it goes wrong, and I think they're under a lot of pressure. So I think there have been failures at lots of levels here, but it shouldn't be the battleground politically that it has become.
Part of me isn't surprised, and I think there'll be many people that will hear this story and will be like, yeah, okay, yeah, I can see that with the police. I mean, you know, on one of the front pages today, we've got Denise Lawrence, you know, in memory of her son. And, you know, I think there are going to be lots of people who look at this and think, yeah, I've been crudely treated. I haven't been treated with respect by the police, particularly the police in London. So it doesn't feel wildly, I know it feels disgusting to say, but it doesn't feel out of character for that organisation.
Yeah, and you do still very consistently hear of the police saying to women, don't put yourself in danger, don't walk there, don't go there, don't dress like that. And I think this is the same thing. They are so focused on preventing crime, they don't think about the stigmatising that you do when you tell somebody to change their behaviour to prevent crime, rather than trying to perhaps solve some of the crimes.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, kind of allied to that, The Times has decided to launch, a year-long inquiry into the future of the criminal justice system. And because they found, so far, they did a kind of initial survey to see how the police are doing amongst ordinary people. And they found, I know you'll be surprised about this, an alarming lack of confidence in the police.
Wow. Well, who knew?
Who knew?
But isn't it interesting that it comes from both sides? Like, the very right-wing people I know will say that they are too soft, too many rainbows, too much joining in, dancing at Pride. And the people on the left say, I feel stigmatised, I don't feel safe, I feel like it's a institutionally racist organisation. So on both sides of the divide, people don't like them. That's not a good sign.
No, not really.
But I think it's an interesting, perhaps, turn of the tide with The Times starting to look at this critically as well. I think that shows that perhaps with everybody looking at this and scrutinising this system, that perhaps justice reform might be closer than we thought.
Let's hope so. Now, in The Times, there is a Here Comes the Summer piece, hooray, entitled The Dark Side of the White Island, Ibiza as it really is. Oh. Apparently, the BBC has a new documentary coming out about Ibiza, and Simon Mills, veteran of much paper cuts analysis, has written a piece about it. Scotty, what does Millsy say?
Well, I mean, let's be fair. I think this is essentially like a long-form review of this documentary by Zara McDermott, who I'm told was on Love Island, which makes me sound like my mum because I hadn't a clue. But yeah, Ibiza, Secrets of Party Island, coming out on BBC Three. And Simon Mills, who I think in his own words is a bit of a veteran of the island, has written this long-form piece, which sometimes comes across a bit like, yeah, I was there when it was cool. I remember the good old days of Ibiza, actually. There is a stunning visual cue of what Mr. Lineker, who some people might know Wayne as an Instagram, he pops up on everybody's Instagram. No matter what algorithm you're a part of, Wayne is there, describing him as a 61-year-old with a tight black shirt, copious sleeve ink, and Persil white Phil Foden haircut. So I think that should put into your head the visual of one of these kind of club moguls. Of
and also Gary Lineker's brother, very important.
Yes. Although, don't often hear Gary saying that. And there's part of this which is around kind of taste and Simon being like, well, you know, people are going there and they're listening to David Guetta for €95, as if that's like an extortionate amount. I mean, you know, any ticket for any gig, wherever you are in Europe at the moment, I think €95 sounds pretty cheap. And this idea that like British women are buying like glasses of white wine in Wayne's Club for €60, it comes across a little bit judgy about the choices that some people make.
It's definitely judgy. I mean, he's really quite rude about them. He calls them the kind of people I've gone out of my way to swerve. I mean, he definitely is. It's basically what he's doing is saying, okay, this area of Ibiza, which is like San Antonio, is too much, you know, kind of, hey, lads on holidays, here's the girls, that kind of clubbing. And he doesn't really like that bit.
Yeah, which is, you know, call it what it is, it's snobbery, really. Yeah. But this idea that this somehow is like this new Ibiza that's emerged out of nowhere, I think is absolute lies. I wanted to say bollocks, but I said lies. because, like, I remember being a teenager watching Ibiza Uncovered when I shouldn't be in the early 90s. And it was just as trashy and bizarre and like, oh my God, look at what the Brits are doing abroad. There is some real interesting parts of the documentary and this long read, though, which talk about sort of the gentrification of the island. So how, like, people who live on the island now can't afford to live there. So there's one story about somebody who's, like, on OnlyFans to be able to make up her rent. I mean, there's a brilliant way in which she's making up her rent on OnlyFans. She's getting guys to send them pictures of their nether regions and then she's judging them for a fiver.
Which or for a video for £65.
That is so brilliant.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Or the local police and guards of the local area not being able to make up their rent and how it's kind of this, the way in which the island is going and which rent is becoming so unachievable for people and, you know, who the island is becoming for, that people are now finding themselves in the drugs trade or in organised crime. And so for me, that's kind of the interest here of kind of the gentrification of Ibiza. And I mean, this is happening across Europe, right? We know that there are places, particularly I've got friends that live in Lisbon who are now no longer able to live in Lisbon. But that is because lots of middle and upper class folk from Britain are going there to drink natty wine in boutique hotels. It's the same story, but this does feel like it comes from look at what the commoners are spending their money on in their one year.
It's weird. It's like a very extreme version of everything that's happening, isn't it? So it's like kind of one point with he's talking about Puff Daddy having parties and handing out cash to people who are just turning up and going, it's really, really loud and you've been having this party for 3 days. Please, can you be quiet? We've got a baby. And he just throws cash at them through the gate, which is kind of
pay the baby to be quiet. Pay the baby to go to sleep.
It's just completely mad. So it's just that extreme of money and what money does to anywhere.
It's what happens in sort of places like Padstow and Cornwall. It's exactly what happens in the coast here, but just on a much bigger, fancier, flashier scale.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing the documentary because I think from the sound of it, the documentary is going to be a little bit more perhaps nuanced than this long week.
I'm just hoping for the OnlyFans girl. I really like the OnlyFans girl. She's great. I hope she has a lovely time.
Let's get her on.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Roz Taylor with news of Oh God, What Now?, the politics podcast that's never going to leave its voter ID at home. On Friday's show, it's 6 months until the US election and Donald Trump is stuck sitting on trial in a New York courthouse. Is he bulletproof or can Joe Biden turn around the polls? In the second half, it's local elections week, but we've steadily taken power away from local authorities. What if we gave it back? And in the extra bit for supporters, is there a right level of ruthlessness in politics? That's Oh God, What Now? With me, Ros Taylor, Raphael Baer, Hannah Fearn, guest Nikki McCann-Ramirez, out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time to reveal the winner of this week's Fix the Headline. Woo! Fix the Headline is Papercut's patented, it's not patented, an exclusive, possibly not exclusive, competition where we scour the papers to find a fab story with a bad headline and we get you, our lovely listeners, to think of a better one. And on Friday, we gave you a story from The Star about how Brits who use text slang like OMG and WTF have been branded uncool. The Star's headline, OMG, I'm old, which was a bit rubbish. We knew you could do better and you did. On Twitter, Parliament UK tweet gave us not cool mate, but it was M8, you see, very good. Theon Scones tried with excommunicated, X as in X. I don't know why I'm... I have to explain everything because it's all little acronyms.
Very visual joke.
Yeah. Very funny.
And Amy Butterworth, the very clever, anacronyms. That's good. On Threads, Maintenance Music had a go with OAP, SMS, SOS.
Fair.
Yeah, all right. But the winner is Bugulika B with IYDKYDK. So that means if you don't know. See, that works. It's good.
I mean, it was a difficult week for it, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's a difficult week for me to read out.
Sometimes, you know, not everybody has a great idea and that's okay.
Just send us your address and T-shirt signed Bugulika and we'll send you a gorgeous Papercuts T-shirt and you'll never think FML again. Now, what about the real papers? Have we got any decent headlines today? Rebecca, what do you have?
I think we've got some decent headlines today. So first of all, we've got a story where Patsy Kensit shares information that you couldn't have got out of me with a blowtorch, that she is aroused by hardware shops. The headline is Four Candles. Which is like four candles, or indeed four candles.
That's good, I like that.
He genuinely enjoyed that one.
That's very funny. That's really well done, The Star.
Well done, The Star. And then we've got a story about Paul McCartney. So we have a book coming out about the experience of being Paul McCartney's personal assistant during the sort of heyday of his fame. And there's a lovely anecdote about Paul getting crabs and everybody having to do a little dash to the chemist to try and find something to sort that crab situation out. They also call it VD, which is not what that is. But the headline about the story about him having pubic lice is Itch and Shout, which is not that close, either verbally or written down, to Twist and Shout.
But we got it.
We did get it. Yeah. I think SB on that one could do better.
Okay, Scotty, you have The Sun.
I've got The Sun, and I mean, it's teeming with my sense of humour, which is the first and last time I'll ever say such a thing. Now, there's a picture of Amanda Holden, which obviously The Star, Amanda Holden, 53, and she is looking rather glamorous in a very delicious bikini, and she's on a holiday in Andalusia, and she's on a boat.
Yes,
okay. Armada Holden.
I think it's actually great.
I like Armada Holden. Yeah.
And you don't get a lot of Armada humour these days. So.
Now, this is quite a serious story here because there are scores of allegations of witchcraft. Mm. And people are saying that this is because it is now trending on TikTok. So the headline here is Voodoo Done It.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who's been accused, though? Just random people?
Just scores.
Scores.
It's a paper from the 1800s, and there'll be a little witch ducking in the square later.
Well, they are being looked into by the police. And then this, I think this is one of my favourite stories because, I mean, it's quite sinister. There is a massive marble headstone of a former bare-knuckle boxer that now has been given its own QR code. And so visitors of the 37-tonne memorial headstone for the traveller Willie Collins, a.k.a. the King of Sheffield, can scan this QR code and read all about his his life and his accolades. So Willie's title is King Willie's QRIP code.
Amazing. No notes.
Now, In the Eye is a cheeky little article by Chef Gizzy Erskine entitled, I ate 4 aphrodisiacs in a week to improve my sex life and 3 worked. Scotty, what do we think about this piece? Before we start, I would like to say that there's aspects of this piece that I like, and they are the marks out of 10.
That's the level of journalism you're looking for nowadays.
But I don't think she's a bit abided by them at all. At one point, she gives something an 11. That's not how that system works.
It's true.
But anyway, respect it.
I think what she's doing there is saying, I think this one's the best.
Yeah.
Anyway, then give it 10.
Well,
don't mess with numbers,
let's
Scotty.
Tell people how she got there. So she is basically wanted to steam up things in the bedroom.
Yeah.
I don't know who with. I don't know if she mentions it. But the way there, I think, is not the way that I want to be having it off. 12 oysters she had before having it off. And apparently that worked quite well because she had it off twice.
Yes, and there was also the quote, they had exemplary orgasms.
What's an exemplary orgasm?
Maybe they're marking those out of 10. So basically what she's doing is she's testing what they call horny foods, which just makes me feel a bit ill, and then marking them out of 10.
Yeah.
So she's going around and doing various things, and the oysters and Guinness was the first.
That was the first, yeah. And then she moves on to her good friend, showbiz pal Gillian Anderson.
What, just sex with her? I think people would be very excited about this.
Who hasn't, actually? Who's apparently artichoke and anchovy dip. I said anchovy like a posh person. Look at that, anchovy. Anchovy. Dip thing with something with salad cream. It sounds absolutely vile and vulgar.
Yeah.
But apparently, this is a dish that you've actually tried from the fair hands.
Well, yeah, I ended up at just, it's a very long story, but I ended up at a very posh dinner with celebrities and I was a bit nervous and they were all, two factors you need to know. First, they were vegan, mostly, and the second thing was they were sober, both fair enough, and Gizzy Erskine was a celebrity chef and she brought out an artichoke, I think perhaps this, with anchovy salad cream and all the rest, put it in the middle, and I was a bit overwhelmed and I leant forward and I knocked wine all over which meant that nobody could eat it apart from me because everyone else was sober.
Anchovies, artichoke and salad cream sounds like nuclear fallout food, doesn't it?
Also, she's written creme rather than cream and the word creme is wrong. Nothing should be called creme.
Well, it gets better because then she moved on to lamb testes, which I think is a fancy way of saying the testicles of a lamb. and apparently that had better results with a very confusing, I quote, 7 out of 10. But fear not, because she did find the pinnacle. It was 11 out of 10.
Yeah.
I know it's contentious. With a very strong legal message here that we mustn't forget, this food is illegal in the UK. Magic mushrooms.
That's not a food. I mean, I suppose it is. It's mushrooms, but you don't eat it for like, to fill you up.
Well, I don't think you're having oysters to fill you up. I mean, it did fill her up though, didn't it? Sorry, that's vile. That's absolutely vile. I've stooped very low, Gizzy. I'm so sorry on this hard-hitting journalism.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Rebecca.
Thank you.
Thanks to Scotty.
Well, thanks so much.
Remember, if you fancy listening to the show with no ads and with a special extra story, then why not join the Paper Cuts Supporters Club? Go to back.papercutsshow.com. The link is in the show notes. And all our supporters get a special shout out. Rebecca.
It's a hi and thank you, Amy, to William Thurlow.
Scotty.
It's hello and I look in people's windows to Christopher Jobling. What am I saying?
Because I don't think you can say that without sounding really weird.
They're all Taylor Swift titles. I've chosen very carefully.
Stunning.
It's Hiya and Who's Afraid of Little Old Me to Lydia Clifford. I've been Miranda Sawyer and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when there are reports that the lunar cycle has encouraged fish to hop out of the water and have an impromptu orgy. No reports as to whether Gizzy is joining in. See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Miranda Sawyer with Rebecca Reed and Scotty. The producer was Liam Tate with assistant production by Adam Wright. Music and audio production was by me, Simon Williams, and socials were by Kieran Leslie. The group editor was Andrew Harrison, the managing editor was Jacob Jarvis, and the executive producer was Martin Boytosh. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.